Hello again, this is Robert Rochelle with D3VBWest.com, and I'm here with sort of a midweek podcast to kind of go over something I posted yesterday on the website, and that's an early look at the NCAA tournament field of 64. I did something similar last year. I put together projections in September right around this same time. And then I revisited right in the beginning of October. And then I did a third attempt right when the first regional rankings came out. And then, of course, as always, I did sort of a mock selection on selection eve, basically. And so I kind of went back and I looked and I said, well, am I doing anything good or is this just all make-believe? Well, it is make-believe, but I think some good comes out of it too. I looked at the projection last year at this time, and actually I got 16 of the 19 teams I selected made the tournament, either as a Pool A or C bid. You have to remember, it's really hard to predict the Pool A winners right now, but so 16 of the teams that I selected actually made the tournament. I thought that was actually pretty impressive. The second attempt that I made in October, early October, I got 16 of 18. I kind of bailed out of making that 19th selection, and instead I went and I predicted that there'd be a conference upset, which actually did happen. And also, what was interesting is I also predicted in that post that the West Region would only get six teams and would not get a West Regional, and of course that also happened. In my third attempt, which was right after the first regional rankings, I thought that would be a really good time to do it, and of course that was my absolute worst attempt. I only got 12 of 19 teams. I messed up on MIT. I think the Central, I picked the wrong teams there. And then the West killed me as well. So that was definitely my worst attempt. And then, of course, my mock selection on Selection Eve, I got 17 of 19. So, you know, if you happen to look at it, and I'm going to go over it a little bit here. I guess the lesson to be learned is that the teams that I'm throwing out there have a pretty good chance of making the NCAA tournament, even though we're just, you know, maybe 4 weeks into the season. So the first thing I did with this, mock selection was kind of, first of all, figure out, you know, what Pool A, Pool B, Pool C bids are going to be done. I wrote a couple articles on this earlier. It looks to me right now that we'll only have one independent bid, a Pool B bid. So that means we've got 43 Pool A's. Those are your automatic qualifiers. We've got the one independent bid, which is your Pool B, and that's going to leave 20 at-large bids, which is your Pool C. The pre-championship manual will make it all clear when it comes out. It kind of should have already come out. It should be any day now, but that'll give us the final story there. So the first problem I had was, who are the Pool A bids? Who are the teams that I don't have to consider? And so I basically used the predictions that Ricky Nelson did back in July, and for the most part used those. Now, I went ahead and changed out Bowdoin. They're under 500 team. I went ahead and replaced them with Tufts. And went in that particular conference. There was a couple other conferences that are only going to get one team out. I really didn't necessarily agree with the selections. And so I just said, the heck with it. I just know that they're going to get one. It doesn't really matter to me who actually gets the selection. So, because again, I'm looking at the at-large. I'm not really concerned too much with the Pool A teams. So the next thing was, who's going to get the Pool B bid? And that turned out to be not very obvious. So right now, when you look at the independents, they're mainly coming out of the Atlantic East, or they're coming out of the ACAA, as there's really, I think right now, only two teams, maybe three, that are true independents in the sense they're not affiliated with any conference. And the Atlantic East and the ACAA do not have an automatic qualifier bid attached to them. So even though they may play some conference matches, they're not going to lead to an automatic bid. But the one nice thing, you know, that came out of it is that when I did the research, is it really looks like the team that's going to win the Pool B bid is going to come out of the Atlantic East or it's going to be UC Santa Cruz. So, you know, when I looked at it, there was really only one independent that had an above 500 record, and that was Marywood. There was only one independent that had a strength of schedule and SOS above 600, and that was Marymount. And then everyone else has got something in between or worse. When I finally did all of the number crunching, and I primarily looked at records and SOS, and then I looked at who were some of the better wins that these teams did, I decided to give the Pool B bid at this point to Marymount. It's still kind of wide open. Again, I think whoever takes the Atlantic East is going to be in a really good position to get the Pool B bid. But I think UC Santa Cruz definitely can insert themselves. They've got some nice matches still to go. And they have a couple of decent wins on their resume. And it's just going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. Okay, so that leaves us with the 20 Pool C bids and who's going to get them. The first thing I decided to do was look through every single conference and find the teams that were over 500 or maybe hopefully a little higher than that. Through that process, I eliminated some teams because just based on my knowledge of them or based on my knowledge of the conference, I knew they really didn't have a shot for selection. In the end, this gave me 110 teams. 110 teams to fill 20 spots. I then went through the teams and looked at their latest SOS numbers and eliminated anyone under 500. So, again, this took out, I think, 25, 35 teams. I had 75 teams left, and some of these teams really don't have the credentials to be an at-large selection, but I cast a wide net at this point and then started to kind of whittle it down. Once I saw how many teams I still had, I wanted to find some way to get a quick way of giving some selection so I wouldn't have to worry about going through so many teams. And so what I did is I looked at the ABCA top 25. I looked at my top 25. And I said, which teams are on both? You know, because I do some work as far as SOS and records are concerned. I think most of the voters do their due diligence. And so let's take a look at those teams. I basically, at this point, gave a bid to Augsburg, St. Thomas, Johns Hopkins, Carnegie Mellon, Chicago, Eau Claire, and Trinity. Now, that's seven teams. There were two others that passed this criteria, and that was Hope and Muskegon. But I was a little concerned with their strength of schedule, and so I held them back. I just took the first seven that I mentioned. That leaves 13 spots, and then I tried to whittle it down some more from there. The next thing I did is I concentrated a little more on the SOS, and I said, let's find the teams that are under 550. And let's also highlight the teams that are over 600. And those numbers are important because when I've done past analysis, I have seen that it's really difficult to get an at-large bid when your SOS is under 550. So let's go ahead and just eliminate those teams. And then the average selection for an at-large team is right around 600 SOS. So maybe let's take a look at the teams that are above 600, and maybe it'll all work itself out. You know, the 550 rule became problematic because in that process, it eliminated Hope, Heidelberg, Aurora, and Birmingham Southern. Now, on the good side, it eliminated 25 other teams, so that wasn't necessarily bad. So what I decided to do was give a second chance to those four teams, Hope, Heidelberg, Aurora, and Birmingham Southern, and I eliminated the other 25. And that got me down to 43 teams for my 13 available spots. Now, when I looked at the SOSs that were over 600, I just had too many teams. There was no way that I could just get bids out to all those teams. And some of them were really benefiting from really not having played anybody that was, you know, really a top-level talent. They were getting those SOS numbers from teams that had good records, but weren't playing a lot of good teams as well. So it kind of made me back off of that approach. So I still had a mess of teams to go through. And I started thinking, well, going back to those averages that I talked about, what teams are above both of those averages? Because in past analyses, I've determined that anyone that gets above those numbers has really got a slam dunk chance of getting in. So let's take a look at those teams. And when I went through that process, St. Olaf, Middlebury, Wesleyan, Clarkson, New York University, and Chapman, all had numbers that would get them selected if the selection was today. So I'll talk a little bit about those last two teams, but by doing that really only leaves seven spots. And going through the process, this process, I also decided that Aurora and Birmingham Southern, even though I like them to various degrees, their SOS numbers just don't play. Their records don't compensate for their lower strength of schedule, so I bounced both of those teams out. So, but going back to New York and Chapman, I mean, even Clarkson in a sense, but New York and Chapman really stood out. I was like, ooh, I don't think either one of these teams would make it in if this was November. Because you have to remember, even though their SOS numbers are pretty good, they're going to trend downward. And when we start factoring in ranked wins, we're going to have a problem there as well. So for now, September 26th is when I did it. September 27th today, they're in. I'm not going to worry about it too much, but those are two teams that I think are going to have some issues come November. So what I decided to do now was put a little feel into the exercise because I still have a lot of teams. I only have seven spots. And at this point, New York region has two teams already in, and they're really probably not going to get two teams in. I mean, they could, they have in the past, but I didn't see them getting three teams. So I went ahead and bounced all the other teams that I still had under consideration, and moved on. And I looked at New England. They usually get three or four at large bids. They've got two currently. And I says, well, I know they're going to get at least three. Let me go ahead and give them a third. It really came down to MIT, Springfield, and Wellesley. And I just decided, based on who coaches Springfield, Coach Long, she's got a lot of power. She's got a lot of history has shown that the rack chairs don't really go against her that much. It's why New England's been so successful getting so many teams in. And so I just gave it to Springfield. I'm not sure, that the statistics or the criteria really say they're the team, but in a close battle, give me Springfield over the others. So I went ahead and put them in. So that gives me six teams. I went ahead and looked at the West region. They've already got six teams in. If they get another one, then that means there will be a West regional. And since I focus mainly on the website with the West region, I've kind of been doing some regional rankings with them. And I know that I currently have got Cal Lutheran ahead of Whitworth. And I have both of those teams ahead of Chapman, who have already put in this thing. And that was kind of a nice little eye-opener because it does show you that you can have some numbers that work on a national setting, but if you don't get the regional wins to get regionally ranked high enough to even be considered, then you're going to be blocked. And that's kind of where I see Chapman right now. If this was done based on whatever criteria that we have right now available, I don't think Chapman would even be considered. For now, I'm putting them in. I went back and I looked at Cal Lutheran and I looked at their numbers, and they've got a nice strength of schedule, but their record isn't really spectacular right now. They do have a couple nice wins, but when I look at the other teams, I don't think Cal Lutheran's numbers get them in today. I think that can change. I know it can change, but right now, I'm going to keep Chapman and I'm going to throw out Cal Lutheran. I'm not going to bother with the rest of the West, because as far as I'm concerned, Cal Lutheran blocks them. And we're done with the West. So I've eliminated both the New York and the West regions in order to get a to get one team in for these six spots that I have left. For New England, I went back. I think Wellesley is probably a slightly better pick than MIT, so I'm going to go ahead and I noted them down. I went back and I looked at the teams that don't have a selection yet, and it's the Great Lakes and the South. I think with the Great Lakes, there's a number of teams that I really like. So I went ahead and just sort of put them on the back burner. I want to get to a point where I can just give out a bunch of bids to that region once I kind of have a feel for where everyone else was. I look at the South. It really comes down to Randolph-Macon and Hendricks. I think Hendricks is the better team, or the team that has the most chance at getting selected. But I think, based on history, I don't think the South's going to get a selection in this scenario. So I went ahead and shut down the South. We've seen in the past, once you get past Emory and Barry, well, heck, we've seen in the past, even with Barry, that the selection committee hasn't really looked favorably at the South. So I'm gonna shut them down. That's the third region I've shut down. The Central, I looked at them. They've got three teams in already. They've got some teams I really like on the board. They got Loras, they've got Bethel, and Washington St. Louis. Between these three teams, Washington St. Louis would be my pick. Now Hendricks out of the South, which I've just eliminated, beat Washington St. Louis. They have that head-to-head. So I went ahead and I jotted down Washington St. Louis, and I went ahead and said, okay, let's reconsider Hendricks. I jumped over to the Mid-Atlantic. They've got two teams in, plus they have the Pool B team that's coming from their region. I looked at the remaining teams. I took Susquehanna. I think they've got the best resume so far. So at this point, I've still have my six spots open, but I have a number of teams written down. I went and looked at the Midwest. They've got two selections, and they really should get at least one more, if not two. And to me, when I look at their teams, I looked at Concordia, Wisconsin. I looked at Platteville. I looked at Oshkosh. I looked at Stevens Point. And to me, it really comes down to Oshkosh and Stevens Point. So I wrote them down and then went over to the Great Lakes and took a look at what they had. A number of these teams in the Great Lakes have got a lower strength of schedule, which is a little concerning. But I think a lot of them are going to trend upwards. They're going to be okay, but I'm kind of looking at it for right now. I eliminated some teams as I went through the process. I can't remember how many teams. I had about eight or so that I went through. And I narrowed it down to, I had Hope, Muskegon, and DePauw that looked to be a little bit better for various reasons. DePauw's interesting because they don't have a great record, but boy, they've got a heck of a strength of schedule. And when it was all said and done, I think this region's going to get three teams in. And so I went ahead and just put those three teams in, Muskegon, DePauw, and Hope. And that left me with three spots with a bunch of teams written down at this point. So this is always the hardest part of these selections, when you get down to one, two, or three spots. In this case, I've got three. I'm looking at Washington St. Louis. I'm looking at Susquehanna. I'm looking at Stevens Point. I'm looking at Oshkosh. I'm looking at Wellesley, and I'm looking at Hendricks. In this scenario, I mean, the WIAC is going to figure out their order through play, so I'm not too concerned between Oshkosh and Stevens Point. I've already got a couple from that conference. We've seen in the past that the selection committee, even though I think that's one of the strongest conferences in the nation, the selection committee has in the past snubbed them. So I don't think both are going. It's possible that neither are going, just because we already have a couple from the conference. I think in my scenario, I would take one of them. I think also trying to put my NCAA selection hat on, I think New England gets a fourth selection just because it's New England. So I think Wellesley's probably going in. I went ahead and took Stevens Point over Oshkosh for now, just because I have them rated higher in my ranking. So that gives me two of the three. And even though Hendricks has got the head-to-head over Washington St. Louis, I think when it comes down to the selection committee, I think the name value, the history, I think Washington St. Louis would get the edge over Hendricks. I think somehow magically the head-to-head will be thrown away. It won't even be considered. And we've seen that in the past with the NCAA selection committee. So my last three spots go to Washington St. Louis. They go to Stevens Point, and they go to Wellesley. So just a quick summary by region. In the Central, I had Augsburg, St. Thomas, St. Olaf, and Washington St. Louis. That's four teams coming out of the Central. That's a big number. The Great Lakes had Hope, DePauw, and Muskegon. Mid-Atlantic had John Hopkins and Carnegie Mellon. I think when it comes to it, I think Mid-Atlantic's going to get at least one more team. I know they've got the Pool B, but I think they would probably get one more. So Susquehanna still probably is in the mix there. Midwest, I've got Chicago, Eau Claire, and Stevens Point. New England, I've got Middlebury, I've got Wesleyan, I've got Springfield and Wellesley. In New York, I've got Clarkson and New York University. Out of the South, they've got nobody. So this would be another case where 20 rounds go and nobody gets selected out of the South. In the West, I've got Chapman and Trinity. Like I said, just because I know more about the West, I know Chapman isn't really realistic at this point. But, based on the numbers, just SOS and records, they're looking pretty good. So one thing I wanted to also do here was kind of look behind the scenes at some of the numbers and look at some of the teams that have got a really good strength of schedule that did not get selected in this little mock selection. So out of the Great Lakes, Hiram is in a really good position as far as their strength of schedule goes. Scranton out of the Mid-Atlantic is very strong with strength of schedule. Let's see, I have to skip all the way over to the West. The thing that was interesting about the West was that there were a number of teams with a really, really strong strength of schedule. You had Mary Hardin Baylor, you have Whitworth, you've got Cal Lutheran, you have Laverne, and you have Southwestern. None of those teams were selected. All of them have pretty spectacular strength of schedules. Now, the island that is the West is going to hurt them from this point on. So at this point, you know, they're pretty good about going outside of region and playing quality teams. But at this point, when conference starts, you know, you've got two conferences, the Northwest and the SCIAC, that basically only play in conference from this point on. The ASC is also primarily does that, whereas the SCAC, they play in pods, so that frees up a couple extra weekends so they can still go out of region. But what's going to happen there is that their SOS numbers are actually going to start to decrease because they're going to play a lot of conference. Every single conference in the West region plays everyone twice or attempts to. The ASC is split into divisions, so they play everyone twice within their division and then once outside their division. But they play a lot of matches inside the division. That causes their strength of schedule to lessen. So the point there is that those teams all have some claim today on a bid, but I just couldn't get them in based on their record, or in the case of the West, that there was a blocking action going on, which can happen. We saw it last year with the West, and it could happen in the other regions too. I just haven't looked as closely at those regions. So there you have it. That was my first attempt at a mock selection on here in late September. As I started off at the top of this podcast, I'm pretty successful with a small sample size, 1 year of doing this. So I think a lot of these teams have created a resume early in the season that's going to last. Now, last year we saw some certain things. We saw like MIT was a team that I had selected in a lot of my early mocks, and they just sort of fell apart at the end. And then there was some strange New England ranking to kind of put that kind of bury them down the list. So stuff like that happens. There were a couple other teams that once you got into conference, they slipped up a couple times and someone else passed them. So that's certainly going to happen. But I would say this, that if the team that you pull for wasn't mentioned or isn't in the Pool A teams that I considered, then you've got your work cut out for you. And I guess go to the website if you want to see the full article on this. It also lists out the Pool A team. So if you're wondering why your team is great and wasn't mentioned, it's probably because they were a Pool A selection, and I didn't worry about an at-large scenario for them. That's all I've got. I hope you found this somewhat entertaining. I'm Robert Rochelle with d3vbwest.com. Check out the website, and I will talk at you later.